Welcome to our first recording of the sessions of teaching for 2023. During this year as a church, we'll be focusing upon the issue of discipleship. Nick Humphreys, our senior pastor, during his sabbatical, believed that God was telling us that we should focus upon this issue, and I agree. One of the ways in which we'll be responding to God's call is by producing a series of studies on the Gospel of Matthew. Now, you may or may not know, but the Gospel of Matthew has a special focus on discipleship. This is especially true in what is known as the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, and we'll be looking at this later. It is not, however, limited to these verses, but the whole gospel is infused with this teaching. In the coming days, we will illustrate this. To begin with, I would like to introduce the idea of what a gospel truly is. Now, we well know that there are four books in the New Testament which have been called gospels. Now, this is the Book of Kells, which is the four gospels in Latin. I was watching the BBC programme called The Repair Shop, and somebody brought in a radio that had been given to their father during the Second World War. The commentator said that this incident happened during the most important event of military history in Britain, Dunkirk. Now, of course, this is an interpretation. One could have chosen the military campaigns of Alfred the Great to unite the Anglo-Saxon tribes during the 9th century, or possibly the Norman invasion of William the Conqueror in 1066, or the Battle of Agincourt in 1415. Many other battles could be called the most important. Now, as Christians, we believe that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important and most significant event in human history. Jesus was a simple Palestinian peasant of the first century, and there were hundreds of thousands, probably, of peasants in the first century, but not one of them made the least crinkle upon history. However, Jesus Christ is still seen today as one of the most significant human beings of that time. It wasn't Caesar Augustus, it wasn't Pontius Pilate, nor was it any other king, emperor, or national leader. Now, this is Wan Mang of the Jin dynasty. The question is, what is so significant about Jesus? And the gospel writers tell us. Each of the gospels, although inspired by the Holy Spirit, was written by a human being who had their own character, and more importantly, they had their own purpose for writing their gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John not only had different perspectives, but also had different purposes. This does not mean that they contradict one another, but rather they complement one another. It gives us a different aspect. The case is very different with Islam and the Quran. Muslims believe that the Quran was not written by Muhammad, but dictated by God and are the literal words of God. And at the end of Muhammad's life, a caliph called Uthman established a standard version, which is known as the Uthmanic Codex, which is generally considered the archetypal Quran for today. We believe, however, that although the Bible is the word of God, it is also the words of human beings. And because we have four different gospels all written for different purposes, this means that we, as Christians, we preach a gospel not in a standard accepted way, but in many different ways for many different contexts. All of this is to explain the way in which we will be looking at the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, as we have all the gospel writers, a unique contribution to make to our understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And as I said at the beginning of this clip, the concept of discipleship is Matthew's unique contribution. So for those of us who want to make disciples, it's our responsibilities as Christians. We must understand what Matthew has to offer us. This means to understand Matthew's unique contribution to the preaching of the gospel. The question, therefore, that we must ask ourselves is, how do we access this unique contribution of Matthew? In order to do this, I'd like to explain the way which I'm suggesting we move forward. The first thing we've got to understand is, what are Matthew's sources for the writing of his Gospels, and how does he use that material to actually explore the idea of discipleship? I would like to explain a generally accepted theory as to the sources of Matthew. It's widely accepted by scholars that the Gospel of Mark was the Gospel that was written first. Now, this is from the Lindisfarne Gospels. There are various reasons for this, but mainly because a church father called Papias, who lived in AD 60 to AD 130, tells us that John Mark, who was a companion of Paul in his first missionary journey, wrote down the preaching of the Apostle Peter very early on in the Christian era. This places Mark's Gospel very early, and therefore is probably the source of Matthew and Luke's Gospel. Now, another reason is that a great deal of Mark's Gospel is used in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, as well as a large proportion of Matthew is made up from the Gospel of Mark. So it's logical to believe that Mark, if it's true that it was written first, is a major source of the Gospel of Matthew. Also, there's a major portion of the material which is not in Mark, but is to be found in Luke and Matthew. So it's logical to suggest that there must be a separate source that Matthew used, as well as Luke, apart from Mark. Now, this source is sometimes called Q, which is the German word for source, Quelle. Finally, there is material which is totally unique to Matthew. This is clearly used by Matthew to emphasize his own unique contribution. Some people believe that there's a separate source which they call M. It's not to say that Matthew's contribution is not only how he uses Mark or Q, but it's certain that Matthew, by using this unique material, is trying to tell us something about the life and the person of Jesus Christ. So, let us look at an illustration of this. If we read the accounts of Mark, Matthew, and Luke about the calling of Matthew the tax collector, we will see Matthew's unique contribution. These accounts are to be found in Mark 2, verses 13 to 17, Luke 5, verses 27 to 31, and Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. So please stop the clip now and read each of these accounts and identify the similarities and the differences between these accounts. As is blindingly obvious, that Matthew 9, verse 13, is different from Mark 2, 17, and Luke 5, verses 31 and 32. Now, the important words here are, on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, but I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." So it's reasonable to assume that Matthew is trying to communicate to us something about what it means to be obedient to God. In contrast to what the Pharisees thought, obedience was not to do with ritual sacrifice, but Jesus says it's to do with mercy. This is further illustrated by the fact that Mark 2:17 and Matthew and Luke 5:31 and 32 contain the same words as Matthew 9 verse 12. But the second part of Matthew 13 is the quotation from Hosea about mercy and sacrifice. So in conclusion, Matthew is emphasizing that as a disciple, the quality of mercy, not only is it not strained, like Shakespeare says, but it's a requirement of discipleship. This means for us as modern Christians that being a disciple is not being religious, but rather being merciful. During these studies, we'll be using this method in order to isolate and identify Matthew's unique contribution to the understanding of discipleship. I hope this session has been useful in helping you to interpret the Gospel of Matthew in a way that Matthew intended, and thereby allowing us to clarify what it is to make disciples. In the next session, we'll be looking at the structure of Matthew again in order to access Matthew's message for us today. So goodbye, and please join us for the next session.